Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff coming to you live on this Friday afternoon, March the 3rd, on the Republic Broadcasting Network at 2 p.m. Central Time. I'm having a little bit of a technical difficulty with my big studio screen here, so I'm going to have to wing it in terms of the various things that I have prepared for you in terms of the roadmap, but let's see how we do. Two things I wanted to mention right off the bat. This week, be looking for me on Johnny Punish's VT radio and video production. We're going to be talking about this big legal brouhaha that's presently going on between Dominion Voting Systems and Fox News. We're going to be taking a little bit of a look at some of Rupert Murdoch's testimony in terms of that trial. And the other thing that I'm going to be doing this week, of course, long about Tuesday, you'll find the London version of the Dankoff Report. Let's dive right into a couple of things that I wanted to discuss immediately that I have kind of rolling around in my mind, even though I can't see my computer screen here in the studio in regard to all the stories that I have prepared for you that I will pass along to the technician on the roadmap for the show that we'll post after immediately after the broadcast. But let's take a look at this one. How many of you know who Ilya Ponomarev is? This is an interesting thing. He is a Jewish fellow. He was once serving in the Russian State Duma. We know that he is an avowed enemy of Vladimir Putin. And interestingly enough, this particular gentleman is now claiming not only that he had a direct involvement in the planning of the Dugina assassination, but he had a direct involvement, he is now saying, in planning the Ukrainian terrorist attack that took place in Kupiansk region in Russia a day or two ago. This is particularly fascinating because with a little bit of internet research, we now discover that Mr. Ponomarev is linked to the Philadelphia-based Foreign Policy Institute, which is heavily Jewish in its population. And fascinatingly enough, Mr. Ponomarev has done a couple of productions with this Philadelphia Foreign Policy Institute that include a joint interview with Congressman Kurt Weldon, or ex-Congressman Kurt Weldon, of Delaware County, Pennsylvania, longtime GOP congressman with links very heavy both within the armament-producing industry as well as all of the neocons that we have come to hate in regard to the pro-Israel lobby and anything else that involves war and that involves armaments and that involves American interventionism around the world. Take a look at that story because Congressman Kurt Weldon, of course, is the name that crops up frequently over time in regard to this whole issue of what he has been involved with over years. As a matter of fact, at one point, he did not win re-election to the United States House of Representatives after it came out in Philadelphia, in the Philadelphia Inquirer, that he his home was the subject of an FBI search. What were they looking for? Well, in terms of Mr. Weldon's connections, they are so numerous that it's hard to say what they were looking for, except it undoubtedly must have involved questions about armaments transfers and questions about Mr. Weldon's links to all kinds of NGOs that have links to the usual neoconservative suspects. Now, here's a story from The Atlantic, which is posted on the roadmap that I can't see, but that I remember from memory, certainly as far as the time that I put in show production and so forth here. The Atlantic has a story on Kurt Weldon that goes back several years, but that nonetheless attempts to show that Kurt Weldon was somehow connected with Russians and that Kurt Weldon was somehow connected with Russians who had an interest in getting Donald Trump elected. Now, there are a number of things that we know. One is that the Russiagate narrative has been totally disproven. The other is this. If The Atlantic is so sure that Kurt Weldon has sympathies for the Putin regime and for Donald Trump's relationship to the Putin regime, how is it that in a much later period of time after the production of this story, he suddenly turns up with the Philadelphia Foreign Policy Institute and with Ilya Ponomarev? Take a look at these stories on Ponomarev, by the way, that we have posted on the roadmap in terms of South Front. South Front goes into great detail about Mr. Ponomarev's latest claims in regard to these terrorist activities that he's apparently proud to be associated with that involved the shooting up of some school kids and a school bus driver in this latest incident that took place on the Russian side of the Russian-Ukrainian border. But in terms of this whole business of Ponomarev, how is it that he so freely brags about his connections to these awful acts, including the whole issue, of course, of the Dugina assassination last August 20th in Moscow, and yet he so freely consorts with American media figures and so freely consorts with the Philadelphia-based Foreign Policy Institute and one ex-Congressman Kurt Weldon? We might ask, of course, if, in fact, Mr. Weldon approves of Mr. Ponomarev's activities, and if the Foreign Policy Institute of Philadelphia approves of Mr. Ponomarev's stated activities as it relates to actions that most people in the international community, in terms of international law, would clearly see as acts of terrorism. So when we start looking at this whole issue once again of Ukraine and Zelensky and actions related to the support of his regime, it seems that there is a connection between these latest acts of terrorism, clearly sponsored by Zelensky's regime and clearly sponsored by the Ukrainian GUR and one Kirill Bodanov, between those activities and the fact that Ukraine is clearly losing this war. Have you noticed as of late that the American establishment media, which hates Putin and which hates things Russian, and which was promoting the Russiagate narrative, is now allowing some of the truth to come forth in regard to the fact that Ukraine is losing this war. How and why are they losing this war? All of a sudden, with the Russian partial mobilization, we've had a turning of the tables in terms of who has the manpower advantage in that theater of activity. We also know that in terms of industrial production, that it is a consistent fact that the Ukrainian artillery shell shooting every day, which at one point was around 5,000 shells a day, has now gone down to approximately 3,000 shells a day. The Russian artillery shellings amount to the expenditure of a minimum of 20,000 artillery projectile shots a day, with the capacity to go between 40 and 60,000 in a very, very serious offensive. This explains, more so than anything else, the manpower differential that has been increasingly addressed by Putin's partial mobilization, and the differential in terms of who has the better artillery with a better range and with the wholesale production, industrial production of artillery armaments and projectiles. All of that is now clearly on the Russian side. So when we start looking at all of these different activities going on, it is clear that the Russians are engaging not simply in airstrikes around Ukraine that involve drones, that involve occasional use of cruise missiles, that in the future will probably involve a lot more utilization of the Russian Air Force in conventional airstrikes, but in terms of artillery, that has been the deciding factor in this war up to this point. The Russians have not only stabilized the so-called Zelensky line since the promotion of one general, General Armageddon, General Surovikin, to being theater commander in the region. Now that we have the overall most powerful general in the entirety of the Russian armed forces involved as the theater commander and with General Surovikin as his surrogate, in this particular circumstance, now that that has transpired, we're beginning to see the Russian progress being made, especially on Bakhmut. What is happening in Bakhmut? The Western media has been trying to conceal the significance of Bakhmut as a strategic prize for the Russians. Now, Bakhmut is apparently a town that in its heyday had about 70,000 inhabitants. You can subtract thousands and thousands of people from that pre-war estimate, based upon all of the carnage that has been taking place in recent times, recent months, in that dreadful circumstance there. But as we begin to look at this whole question of Bakhmut, it is quite obvious that the Russians and the so-called Wagner Group, which apparently involves a group of Russian, ex-Russian servicemen who are now a Russian mercenary force available for use to the Russian regime and to the conventional regular Russian armed forces, that the Wagner Group is penetrating Bakhmut to the extent that now every single road, apparently, in and out of Bakhmut is a road that the Russians have fire control over. Not only fire control over, but now in this particular situation, the Russians have to use less of their artillery shells on these roads. They can now use anti-tank missiles in maintaining control, fire control of these roads in and out in Bakhmut. I believe there are five of them. Why? Because the Russians have moved ever closer to those roads and ever closer to a complete takeover of the city. Those anti-tank missiles that they are using to maintain fire control of the area and fire control of these roads don't need the range of the artillery shells because the Wagner Group is advancing. So when we start to look at this whole situation of Bakhmut, this is key because the Russians are approaching from the south, the Russians are approaching from the north, and when those two elements of the pincer finally completely link together, which has just about happened, some people think that that is literally hours away, then these remaining Ukrainian troops will be completely surrounded. Not simply in Bakhmut, but apparently there are reports that areas west of Bakhmut have Ukrainian troops that will also be surrounded when this pincer linkage finally transpires. What is the significance of this? Well, for the longest time, Western media has insisted that there is no ultimate strategic prize for anyone in maintaining control of Bakhmut. Why then has Zelensky, why then has General Zaluzhny committed thousands upon thousands upon thousands of Ukrainian troops in an attempt to hold Bakhmut with the dreadful level of casualties that they are suffering every day as a result of this? The latest estimates indicate that the Ukrainians are losing about a battalion a week. In order to do what? To hold on to something that's not strategically significant? This is absolutely absurd. And so we are beginning to see in British media, we are beginning to see in Western mainstream media in the United States, a grudging admission that Bakhmut is very important. Why? For several reasons. One, the entire Ukrainian military communications center for all of their operations along this front, along this Zelensky line of some 1,000 to 1,200 kilometers, is centered in Bakhmut. That's number one. Number two, you start looking at this whole issue of Bakhmut, and it's very, very obvious that it's not simply a communications center. It's also a logistical center. A logistical center for the Ukrainian effort all along the Zelensky line. Railroad transport and the like seems to be centered in Bakhmut as far as supplies heading south, as far as supplies heading north, and as far as supplies up to this point that were being transferred into Bakhmut itself. Almost impossible now, because the Russian pincer movement also virtually has the city surrounded, and because in this instance, it won't be long before you will have the same situation that you saw in an earlier stage of this war in Mariupol, and that you saw in an earlier stage of this war in the eventual Russian victory at Severodonetsk and Lysychansk. So this particular circumstance is where it is, and once Bakhmut falls, the Russians will occupy the high ground west of Bakhmut. What are they going to do then? They clearly are going to establish their artillery pieces there, and those artillery pieces, with all of the 155-millimeter ammunition that the Russians can produce because they have the industrial capacity to produce them. The United States no longer does. So in this particular instance, you will then begin to see the Russian artillery barrage aimed where? At Kramatorsk, as the beginning of the advance on the Slaviansk-Kramatorsk salient, which will be the last stop before the Ukrainians have completely lost Donbass. So that basically, in summary, is what is going on there in regard to this conflict. Now, as we begin to turn to some other issues here, one of these issues is one that I just discovered. How many of you are listening to the radio today? I'm talking about conventional radio, not all of the greats like me, in alternative media. But how many of you are listening to conventional news today, either on television or driving somewhere? I happen to have San Antonio's radio on today, AM 550 KTSA. That's a pretty decent news station as far as conventional news stations go in regard to some of the talk that's on there. But at the top of the hour, you get ABC News on AM 550 in San Antonio. Many of you in Texas listening to my voice now have familiarized yourselves with KTSA if you live in San Antonio or within a certain radius of this seventh largest city in America. At 10 o'clock this morning, what did I hear? I heard all about Mr. Joseph Biden presenting posthumously the Congressional Medal of Honor to a black paratrooper, African-American paratrooper, who lost his life in June of 1965 in South Vietnam. Now, interestingly enough, this colonel, whose name I believe was Paris C. Davies, or Davis, if I'm remembering correctly, because I don't have my roadmap in front of me, Colonel Davis, I believe, legitimately won that award. I'm not questioning that based upon reading about what happened to him. The only question that I have is how it took so long for him to win the CMH. Supposedly, the paperwork for that ultimate commendation for American combat forces somehow got waylaid several times over many years. That seems awfully strange to me, but nonetheless, I will assume, and I think legitimately so, that Colonel Davis, all these many years later, and when we start talking about 1965, folks, that's not quite 60 years ago. I remember it well. And in this particular instance, when we talk about Joe Biden awarding this thing to Colonel Davis posthumously, then we get into the whole question, not of whether or not Colonel Davis was a worthy recipient, but what is the timing of this announcement now in terms of the larger message that Mr. Biden is trying to send to black Americans and to all Americans about something else that involves a war not past, but a war that he's planning yet future. We'll be back. This is the Dan Koff Report on RBN Live from San Antonio, Texas.
I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Expect from me at all. I'm not the kind to smile and bow out gracefully. I always wanted to take it to the wall. But I found somebody with a heart as big as Texas.
We're back. You're listening to Mark Dankoff and the Dankoff Report on the Republic Broadcasting Network. On this Friday, the 3rd of March, 2023, beginning, of course, at 2 p.m. Central Time. I would imagine it's probably around 2:25 Central Time now. I wanted to just throw something out there in passing. My father's birthday is today. Had he lived, he would now be 103 years old. Of course, as many of you know, he had a very interesting career, both in the Army Air Corps and then subsequently in the United States Air Force, was a denizen of the Middle East for quite a number of years in Iran in the Pahlavi era and subsequently in Saudi Arabia before he fully retired. He is now in Section 54 of Arlington National Cemetery in just outside of Washington, D.C., and from where the Kennedy brothers are buried, if you look straight down, you're likely to see Section 54, which is basically on Admiral Leahy Drive off of Eisenhower. So that this is my dad's story, of course, on this 3rd of March. And as we think about him, we think of all kinds of military veterans, many of whom did not fare as well as my dad did in life, either on active duty or after it. And it's in this particular regard, of course, that we get back to a very fundamental question. I don't think there's any issue today in the United States that is more important than this Russian-Ukrainian war and what our neocon leadership in both the Republican and Democratic parties has been doing to lead this country into a course of action that, if continued in its direction, will lead us into a global conflict. This is, in my judgment, certainly not a compelling American national security interest. And if you've been following the latest polls on this, more Americans are beginning to assume that my position all along, and that of people like Ron Paul and Pat Buchanan and David Stockman, is the correct position. We continue to advance in the polls in terms of public opinion as to the worthless character of this conflict. and what it's costing this country economically and politically, but what it's doing in Europe and what it's going to do if the United States finds itself in a wider war that does not simply involve Putin's Russia, a very, very formidable ally, all on its own. But obviously, if the Chinese become involved, if the Iranians become involved, you can well nigh imagine the level of trouble that we are going to be in. For what? So that the armaments manufacturers can make a few bucks? So that the neocons can continue their advancement toward their dream of a Zio New World Order? That is not what I consider to be a legitimate goal for American foreign policy. It's not worth any American money. It's not worth any American lives. And yet we get involved more deeply all the time. And fascinatingly enough, as I was going through and doing some research for you for this show, I happen to jot these numbers down. I'm glad I did, because I don't have my normal studio production screen in front of me with all of the things that I have chronicled for you and the roadmap that I will send to the technician right after our broadcast ends. But just as the mainstream media in the United States has been lying to you about this Russian military operation all along, this so-called special military operation, lying to you about its limited scope, lying to you about Putin's legitimate rationale for having pursued it, lying to you about the fact that the United States was involved in an illegitimate coup d'etat in Ukraine in February of 2014, but lying to you as well about the overall game plan for both NATO and the United States in regard to this senseless activity, which has already cost so many lives on both sides. Now, in this regard, I look at a lot of news sites that the average American does not know about. The average American does not have access to unless they know where to look. In this particular case, one of the ones that I consult is Intel Slava. I have to consult them on Telegram to get them in the English language. And in this particular case, just today, I came across their repeating of statistics that were, interestingly enough, cited by CNN. Now, of course, we've been hearing all kinds of lies from CNN and from the Washington Post and the New York Times, not only about the Russian rationale and the Russian limitations of the special military operation, but in this particular case, we've been lied to about casualty figures. And when we come back, I want to go through those numbers with you and then talk about Lori Lightfoot's defeat in her attempt for a re-election bid in Chicago the other night as mayor of that city. We'll be back. This is the Dan Koff Report coming live at RBN from San Antonio. Must come down.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules. Like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Well, it's all right, riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right, if you live the life you please. Well, it's all right, doing the best you can. Well, it's all right, as long as you lend a hand.
You can sit around and wait for the phone to ring, waiting for someone to tell you everything. Sit around and wonder what tomorrow will bring. Maybe a diamond ring.
Well, it's all right, even if they say you're wrong. Well, it's all right, sometimes you gotta be strong. Well, it's
we are back. With the Dan Koff Report on RBN Live on this 3rd of March, 2023. As I mentioned at the top of the hour, here in a few days, you can look for me on VT Radio and Videos, another Johnny Punish production. We're going to be talking about the whole brouhaha between Dominion Voting Systems and Fox News over the 2020 election. That ought to be an interesting TV production. And at the same time, of course, on Tuesday, I will be doing the London version of the Dan Koff Report with my old buddy ACH there in London and Dr. Patrick Slattery of our own RBN, of course, at National Bugle Radio. So you can be looking forward to those things, as I hopefully will have an even greater list of depressing stories for you to discuss beyond the ones that I have already compiled for you. By the way, in this roadmap, I include the link to the last show that I did last Friday with Johnny Punish, who was my guest then. That enables you to go back and to look at all kinds of stories that are still as relevant as they were 7 days ago. That's kind of my thinking in regard to enabling you to go back into the archives, so to speak, through a current roadmap that will be connected with this show after it posts. But you can go back in several previous roadmaps and see all kinds of videos, all kinds of news articles to your heart's content. Let's get back for a minute to Joe Biden and his presentation posthumously of the Congressional Medal of Honor to an Army colonel, a black African-American Army colonel by the name of Paris Davis. And in this particular case, Colonel Davis was definitely based upon the combat record that I read about, a most deserving recipient of the CMH, the Congressional Medal of Honor. Not questioning that, certainly. What I am questioning is whether or not the timing of this was being used by Joe Biden, of course, to send a signal to both black and white Americans and to Asian Americans and to anyone else who is an American citizen, that there might be another war just around the corner requiring an even greater sacrifice for what I argue is an even more senseless and more dangerous cause than Vietnam was back in the 1960s. And interestingly enough, Cy Hirsch, by the way, who of course has been telling us all about the United States' role with the Norwegians in particular in the illegitimate criminal attack on Nord Stream 2. If you go back in some of the things that Hirsch has been saying recently, the Norwegians, unbeknownst to me until Hirsch published his material, the Norwegians were very much involved with the United States Navy in another incident in August of 1964, known as the Gulf of Tonkin incident, which produced the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution, promoted by Lyndon Johnson, bought lock, stock, and barrel by the Congress of the United States less than a year after the Kennedy assassination in Dallas, that subsequently plunged the United States into a war in South Vietnam that involved at its height some 550,000 men, that involved the wholesale commitment of the United States Air Force in terms of the ordnance dropped on North Vietnam, that resulted ultimately in an American withdrawal from South Vietnam and the ultimate fall of Saigon in April of 1975. I'm old enough to remember all of that. Of course, my father was involved in it big time in those days. And when we start looking at the curious relationship of the Norwegians to the United States in regard to what happened so long ago in helping to concoct this phony story surrounding what happened in the Gulf of Tonkin, all these many years later, the Norwegians turn up as a major player in this American black operation known as Nord Stream 2 that involved attacking an ally and the asset of an ally, in this case Germany, criminally destroying a legitimate commercial and business enterprise for what? Well, it resulted in the United States, of course, profiting economically when suddenly the Germans and suddenly all of Europe found themselves having to rely more and more on the United States for liquefied natural gas. But it also achieved something else, or so these neocons think, in attempting to divorce Germany from a Eurasian movement that offers so much more to the Germans than the American foreign policy of regime change and fiat money and coup d'etats and assassinations and endless wars. So in this particular case, that Norwegian connection to the United States, Nord Stream 2, very recently, going all the way back to what happened with the Gulf of Tonkin resolution, as Lyndon Johnson and his criminal cadre around him launched the United States into what, up to now, was the greatest military disaster in American history. I say up to now because it's very clear that unless there is a major change in direction in American foreign policy, and unless the American people get off of their hind ends and stop allowing these Zionists and neoconservatives to launch new wars on the part of the United States and NATO in areas where we don't belong, and where we have no moral or legal justification for being, then the people of this country, I'm sorry, folks, to say most of them will deserve whatever they get. And none of that is any good. Let's go back just for a second to some casualty figures, courtesy of CNN via Intel Slava. Take a look at these folks. For the longest time, we were told by mainstream media in the United States that it was the Russians who were doing the most dying and the most suffering in this conflict. Nobody who was looking at this war with inside sources and talking to the right sources, believe that poppycock for 1 minute. But here are the figures according to CNN via Intel Slava, and we put this link on your roadmap so that you'll understand I'm not making these figures up. Ukrainian dead, 259,085. Ukrainian wounded, 246,904. Ukrainian desertions or missing in action, 83,952. Ukrainians captured, 28,393. So this all goes a long way toward explaining how it can be that at one point at the beginning of this conflict, the Ukrainians had a total armed force, not all combatants by any means, but a total armed forces manpower numerical figure of 700,000. The Ukrainian armed forces now, we are told by these same Ukrainian figures, only total 200,000. Why? I think you're beginning to get an idea of why if you do the math of these numbers that I just cited. So you have the truth about Ukrainian casualties coming out, the truth about Bakhmut coming out, the truth about the inability of the United States and Western Europe to engage in the kind of industrial production that the Russians can undertake and are undertaking. But then there's another factor. Mr. Lukashenko of Belarus, working obviously very closely with Russia in helping Russia to the extent that he and Belarus can in this conflict, Mr. Lukashenko has been in China visiting with President Xi. Now, what in the world were they talking about? I think you can imagine what they were talking about in regard to what the Chinese may choose to do in helping the Russian effort in Ukraine as a means of countering the American pivot in the Pacific and in Southeast Asia begun under Barack Obama that would seem to suggest that the American deep state and the American national security establishment and these neocons and neo-interventionists want to get a good war with China going. That's an incredibly crazy idea. But nonetheless, President Lukashenko of Belarus has been in Beijing to talk to President Xi. And out of this comes a story that I have put on your roadmap from Larry Johnson of the Son of the New American Revolution. Larry Johnson is an ex-CIA analyst, one of the top experts that you can consult, by the way, on what's really going on in Ukraine. Larry Johnson has a new article out there on his website talking about whether or not the Chinese will choose to arm Russia. He says that the answer, he believes, is going to prove to be yes. Not that the Russians need Chinese help in this regard, says Larry Johnson, but the Chinese want some of their own weapons systems tested in actual combat conditions. Certain things you can't do in a firing range, certain things you can't do in controlled circumstances in regard to simulations and so forth, that will very well cause President Xi to agree to help the Russian effort in Ukraine. Two things about that. Lukashenko, I believe, is going to go back to Belarus, and he is going to report all of this to Mr. Putin. But then, of course, Mr. Xi is going to be making a visit very soon to Moscow. And one suspects that maybe Lukashenko is going to show up there as well. So keep an eye on that story. But nonetheless, Alexander Mercuris at the Duran, a number of other people, Brian Berletic at the New Atlas, Larry Johnson, I've already mentioned, indicate that the big way that the Chinese can help the Russians is with drones. Russians did not produce the drones some years ago that arguably they should have to bring them up to speed with all of their other very amazing military developments in terms of their production. The Chinese can redress that very quickly. The Iranians, of course, have been helping the Russians, at least with drone technology that has gone into the Russian Geron 2. But in this particular case, if the Chinese start giving Putin and giving Putin's commanders the Chinese drones in Ukraine, it will simply finish off Zelensky once and for all and give the Chinese kind of a test run in terms of how well these drones might perform in a future conflict against the United States in the Pacific that might be in the planning stages right now, courtesy of one Joe Biden, who doesn't often know even where he is, according to ex-White House Dr. Ronnie Johnson. But nonetheless, Biden's neocon interventionist advisors would like to see the United States apparently involved in a full-fledged war. I think that's a crazy idea, but nonetheless, this seems to be the way that it's going. And in this regard, you can count China, I think, as being in on what is going to be the final stages of a Russian victory in Ukraine, followed by, God forbid, a higher stakes situation that will involve the Chinese and Putin's Russia and the Iranians against the dying Zionist Anglo-American empire. Let's hope I'm wrong about that, but I'm not alone in being absolutely fearful that that's just around the bend. Okay, back for a minute to one Lori Lightfoot in Chicago. You know, it's interesting. Lori Lightfoot, after she was first elected as mayor of Chicago, received a very fawning and lengthy tribute in The Advocate. Now, The Advocate is a, if you'll pardon the expression, but this is what it is. It is a queer publication. Lori Lightfoot, in this Advocate article that is in your roadmap, Lori Lightfoot is someone who, and I'm quoting what I remember of The Advocate's title, Lori Lightfoot won a unique place, so The Advocate was saying, in queer history. Now, of course, we learned from Don Wassel's American Freedom News, a good friend of mine, good friend of our Republic Broadcasting Network, American Freedom News has published a story on how the, and I'm quoting from the title, the racist communist Lori Lightfoot, mayor of Chicago, failed to make the runoff for reelection. What happened there? Well, there are all kinds of differing opinions as to what happened to Ms. Lightfoot in terms of her failure to be reelected. But I would simply offer this editorial remark that you're going to hear nowhere, and of course, American mainstream media, even in circles that don't particularly care for her, that might tread gingerly around this in such places as Rupert Murdoch's Fox News. But to me, it's obvious. Lori Lightfoot had all of the demographics that you, unfortunately, in this day and age, in a post-Christian America, would want in an urban Democratic mayoral candidate. She's a lesbian, she's black, and she has a Jewish live-in partner. That can get you elected as mayor of Chicago, one of the three largest cities in America. But when people start seeing what has happened to their city in crime rate, when people start seeing what has happened to Chicago, the city that was once described as the city that worked under the late Richard Daley of Chicago, and when they start looking at what is happening nationally to this country under the leadership of this woke Democratic Party of Joe Biden, can it be that not only white working class Americans who still live in Chicago, but an increasing number of decent African-American people have decided that, all demographics aside, in terms of what CNN wants to promote in regard to a Chicago mayoral candidate, that maybe an increasing number of African-Americans and other minority groups in Chicago have decided that these demographics don't matter when you can't run a city. And when you let a city as great as Chicago was absolutely go to hell. Now, the people of Chicago have perhaps figured that out. What about Portland and Washington, D.C., and all of these other places that have become absolute urban cesspools, including the dirtiest city in America, according to the latest statistics? Houston, Texas, and Harris County. We'll be back.
Stands for truth, liberty, and balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
I think the Biden administration might be trying to overcorrect. I'm Peter Serafine with this week's Liberty Minute, brought to you by Right to Bear Insurance. If you own a firearm, you need to use the code LIGHTHOUSE at protectwithbear.com, just in case you ever need to use that firearm. So a Chinese spy balloon was allowed to traverse the lower 48 states. Biden got a lot of flack for that, and rightfully so. Since then, four more objects have been shot down. Supposedly, the radar has been adjusted to spot smaller objects now. I guess until now, something smaller than a Cessna flew by, nobody noticed. Anyway, Biden said that the last three things shot down were likely not from the CCP, but probably from private companies. Wait a minute, you don't know what they are, and you're shooting $400,000 rockets at them. Did our president and our military forget the rule? Know your target and what's behind your target? This is the same guy that doesn't want you to have assault weapons. From now on, when I see something on or over my property, the first thing I'm going to do is start shooting at it. It's good enough for the president, should be good enough for me too, right? Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time, see this Pashem Parabellum.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
Minutes of this broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network on this 3rd of March, 2023. Again, in a few days, you'll see me with Johnny Punish on VT radio and video talking about the Dominion Voting Systems legal case with Fox News. I'll have the British version of the Dankoff Report with ACH in London and our own Dr. Patrick Slattery of National Bugle Radio. I believe that's scheduled to publish Tuesday, if not Wednesday. And in terms of remaining stories here, here are just a couple that you can close off this broadcast with. Zero Hedge reports that the Democratic mayor of College Park, Maryland, has now been arrested on 56 counts of being involved with child pornography. What is the most interesting aspect of this story, aside from the fact that the guy is apparently a big-time pervert? This mayor's meteoric rise to political power, he credits with his longtime friendship with U.S. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg. I'm not kidding, folks. This is absolutely in the Zero Hedge story. And we put one photograph of these two jokers together for your roadmap. And suffice it to say that I wonder what the people of East Palestine, Ohio, think of Mr. Buttigieg as a transportation secretary, or what they think about any of the members of the Biden administration, including Mr. Biden himself, who hasn't traveled to their community, who seems to want to throw billions of dollars at Volodymyr Zelensky's surrogate war against Russia on behalf of NATO and the New World Order. But there you have it once again in regard to what is obviously a very, very sickening story. And then, of course, you'll notice in your roadmap that we have a book review published there, book review that is well worth your time. And last but not least, as we get ready to close the show down, we decided to open up a good riddance category for this particular show. Maybe we'll run it week after week. The good riddance story for this week comes to us from Christians for Truth. Christians for Truth reports that a gay Jewish psychologist who was in the mainstream of the fight to legitimize sodomy in the United States has just died. Do you remember the book, The Joy of Gay Sex, which, of course, was being sold by all of the mainstream American book consortiums in its heyday? Take a look at that story and to see what the link is between this now deceased Jewish rabbi and the drive for a post-Christian, pro-sodomite America. Which is another reason, if you are a Christian and an American nationalist, to support Vladimir Putin of Russia in his attempts to defeat the New World Order. I, for one, take my hat off to him. I will see you this coming week on VT Video with Johnny Punish. I will see you on the Dan Koff Report with ACH coming from London, either Tuesday or Wednesday. And I will see you next week as we continue the Dan Koff Report and watch this tragic comedy unfold together. You've been listening to the Dan Koff Report on the Republic Broadcasting Network. God bless you. See you next week.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.